Welcome back to the Prexy Podcast. My name is Matt McQuarrie, the Communications Supervisor for the district, and you are listening to Episode 9. So this week, Mr. Johnny Jackson, the Diversity and Equity Supervisor for the district, joins us to discuss the many initiatives currently underway in Marion City Schools to help culture and preserve a sense of belonging for our students and our staff. So how are you doing today, Mr. Jackson?
Doing pretty good, pretty good. How about you?
Good, I'm doing well, thank
That's
you.
Good.
We start each episode by letting our guests discuss their journey into education and how they ended up in their current position. So if you could just tell us about how you became the Diversity and Equity Supervisor and kind of the road that led to that.
Yeah, I think that my journey into this position started when I was in high school. I was in a project called Growing Our Own. And Growing Our Own was all about getting black students into the educational field. And we went on campus college tours. We went to historically black colleges and universities in Atlanta, Spelman, and Morehouse. And we just did all these things to do empowerment work. So then I go off to college and I play college football and I get 2 degrees from the University of Findlay. And my first teaching job is in South Korea, teaching English as a second language. I think I moved home maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I was doing community work around empowerment. And I figured out from Sarita Lawrence, one of our community members and a mother and small business owner, that this position was open. And I applied for this position, and it's been, 3 years? So it's kind of been like a full circle.
Right. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of that here, which is, I think, really good for the district. Okay, so in my opening, I kind of mentioned that our goal, what we're trying to work on right now, is creating a sense of belonging in the district and for the students and the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So can you elaborate on that a little bit for our audience on what that means?
Yeah, I think one of the metaphors I like to use is like a patchwork quilt, and trying to stitch all of our schools together around a sense of belonging. So in summer of last year, We were working with an agency around like creating a Prexy playbook, and we were talking about like, well, what would help our students, teachers, community members around feeling like they belong to a school, and we came up with this idea of creating like this sense of belonging. So we have 4 pillars to our strategic plan, right? And the pillar that I'm over is the leadership pillar. And part of the work that we've been doing is around student voice and belonging, and also staff voice and belonging. And we're looking at using surveys to talk to elementary, middle school, high school students about like, what are the projects in school that help you feel like you belong? Right. Like, who are those people in school that are your people? They are there for you to make sure that like you can talk to them, you can feel like you're affirmed by them. And then the next piece is like, how do we connect community back into school? So all of this belonging work is around bridging school to community and community to school.
So, and to what you're speaking to, we have a number of initiatives that you're working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into all that, I want to take kind of a step back and talk about a project that happened last summer with a number of our students, and that was called Dream Keepers.
Mm-hmm.
So can you kind of explain the origins of that project and talk about what our students kind of did and what they were able to accomplish?
Sure. So one of our community partners, Whitney Gurman, who works at Ohio State Extension, she made a Facebook post about a $50,000 grant that Ohio State University had. And that grant was centered around social and racial justice, and she asked if I wanted to be a part of a team that would explore social justice from a youth-focused lens. So my suggestion was to partner with assistant principal and a teacher at Harding High School and see if we can recruit youth of color to do like a justice-oriented project. So we ended up winning the grant. And we decided that we wanted to do what we call YPAR research, which is Youth Participatory Action Research.
Okay.
And this research was looking at social justice and injustice in school and in the community. And we recruited, I believe, between 8 to 10 young people of color, and we worked with them throughout the summer. And that work over the summer, we had weekly meetings to talk a little bit about different definitions like racism, discrimination, sexism, the different kind of like larger systemic things that happen. But then we also, through the work of Whitney and other of our community partners, we had like these weekly educationals. So students learned about Black literacy, they learned about social justice, they learned about environmental justice, and they learned about photo voice, which was such a like key factor in the work. And photo voice allowed them to document through photos and also writing some of the things that happened in their community. And some of the things that they documented was like being with friends, but also Confederate flags,
right,
run down houses. Like they were able to document some of these things, but also going outside of their community, looking at a place like Columbus and some of the cultural mural arts that they have, and what Marion might look like if we were able to bridge some of those things back here. I thought Dreamkeepers was a really fantastic project because we got a chance to work with young people. We got a chance to pay them a stipend for a summer project. And we had a chance to partner on a social justice project that aligned with our equity and social justice resolution that we passed in the summer of 2020. So it really was an extension of some of the work that I know that Marion City Schools wants to do.
All right, now there's a number of initiatives that you're working on. Either you began this year or you've been working on it throughout the school year, so or you're even in the planning process for in the future. So can you kind of talk about those initiatives and kind of what they're doing for our district right now?
Sure. So I'll start off with our Equity Champion framework. We have our Equity Champion framework in about 4 elementary schools and 1 middle school. At this past week, I was over at Taft Elementary School, so I want to shout them out because their team is about a team of 9, and they've really been focused on building the foundation, talking about their values as a DEI team. And then also, because the Winter Olympics are now, one of the larger school projects that they're working on is taking Winter Olympics and teaching students about different countries. Language, history, culture, and that type of thing. And I think that that's a really fantastic activity. At Benjamin Harrison Elementary, they're working on their Equity Champions. They're doing some recruiting of teachers. Okay. And they want to set the foundation for some of the work they want to do in the fall, which is really exciting. Garfield Elementary, their equity team, I love what they do as far as like they release a newsletter every month. So this month is obviously Black History Month, and they've released a newsletter. Other months that they've highlighted is Disability Awareness Month, also Hispanic Heritage Month, and Native American Heritage Month. So it's super exciting to see like the different buildings and where they're building their Equity Champion framework. Grant Middle School is, they're also rocking it. They have an equity team over there. And one of the most exciting projects that they've been doing is Safe Zone training. And that Safe Zone training, they've had 2 Safe Zone trainings, which were really well attended during their professional development days. And the hope is to then take that Safe Zone training and get that to our other equity champions in our elementary school and our high school. Myself and a couple equity champions from the high school, last night we went to New Albany Community Foundation. They host these like monthly talks around equity. Okay. We went last night and we were able to listen to Abby Wambach, World Soccer, World Cup award-winning soccer player, but also motivational speaker and podcasting. And it was interesting listening to Abby last night, because some of the things that Abby was saying around motivation and also having like that culture of being in community with each other, like it really stuck to, I feel like, where we want to go as a district. So that was really good. Awesome. So there's different work that our equity teams and equity champions are working on. And I do want to note one other group. They're not necessarily equity champions, but they do like are doing really amazing things during Black History Month. The cafeteria workers over at Harding High School have put together this amazing display for Black History. So you walk in and there is a picture and then a different like small display to talk about the different historical figures and contributions of African Americans. And that was led by Tanya Mosier. And I just want to kind of give them a shout out, because I think that they're doing like really good work.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then what about the with the English English learner department?
Sure. So Amy McKinney, who's also assistant principal at George Washington, she's the EL coordinator. And I know some of the really good work that we've been doing is around getting documents translated and making our one cause into Spanish so our Latinx community can have that communication. Another piece is really our EL teachers are doing a lot of really fantastic work right now. I know that it's testing season, but also they're doing a lot of empowerment of our English language learners. We've purchased a book set that we want to do a book study to like increase our competency about how do we work well with EL EL students, like very broadly defined in our district. Yeah. So those have been some of the things that we've been working on. And I know that Amy has cleaned up a lot of processes since she's been in the district. And now, as you know, Matt, we're working on enrollment. So with enrollment, now I know Amy and others are working to make sure that enrollment process is a bit more smooth for our EL families.
So tell me about what's one of the favorite projects that you're working on right now?
Sure. So I have a cohort of elementary school boys of color, and then a cohort of middle school boys of color that I work with on a weekly basis. At the middle school, we have like a half an hour to focus on affirmation, academics, and the way in which school is working or not working for us. And that's a really cool project because I get a chance to work with sixth graders that I had in fourth grade in the same project. Okay. So I've been with them for 2 years. Now, my fifth grade boys of color, I work with them every Friday afternoon, and because it's winter, we don't get a chance to go outside, but now we go into the cafeteria. And the thing that we're doing today, there's this book I've been like reading and working on. It's called STEM, STEAM, Make Dream by Christopher Emden. And we're gonna do a mood analysis of school today. So we're gonna walk around school and we're gonna look at the mood of school, and we're gonna document how we feel about certain spaces. Okay. And then use those as recommendations to like think about the redesign of school. The fun thing about these particular boys of color is hardly ever do schools in America frame school around the desires and the academic achievement of boys of color. So what I'm able to do is then like design what I do around like their hopes, and like when we do our mood analysis today, thinking about like how you feel about a certain space and how can we change it to make you feel like comfortable and that sense of belonging. Those two cohorts of students, it really helps me really think about who was I as a middle school student, who was I as an elementary school student, and how can I do things like produce equity and produce justice and belonging for those particular students. And then I think about like, how can we make that happen for all students? So it's like just an ongoing project that I'm working with. Yeah, so it's really fun.
So when you bring that up, it makes me happy because we have all of these different initiatives that we're working on for all of the different students in our district. If you could talk a little bit about, because as we do all of this work around diversity and equity, the students are also getting involved and doing things on their own. So I know at last year at Grant, we had a Pride Club that came on board. So can you talk a little bit about that? Because that's actually carried over to the high school as well.
Yeah, and they meet weekly. The exciting thing about the Pride Club is now it went from that particular group of students meeting weekly at the middle school to now meeting weekly with their two advisors at the high school. And one of the things we've been talking about is if you're a senior Pride group member, like what does it look like when you graduate? And one of the things we've been talking about is having what they call a lavender graduation. Okay. They do this in universities and college. Like Pride groups and students who might identify as LGBTQIA have a lavender celebration where you receive a certain certificate, but you also feel like really accepted and feel like you belong. And then you have a cohort of peers, a cohort of teachers, your community members that are there just to celebrate you and say thank you so much. And we hope that you had a good experience. So that's really exciting. I hope that if not this year, maybe next year, we can put together that particular ceremony. I know that those two advisors, shout out to Austin and Kara, have done so much amazing work around creating a space of belonging that that group of students transitioning from middle school to high school is a big transition. I think that part of their success in high school is going to be having a Pride Club where you can meet weekly to talk about certain challenges and how you want to redesign school for belonging for the group that you're in and other groups too. So that's really exciting stuff.
I think it's great because it shows that, you know, sort of the work that you're doing as part of the district is also kind of rubbing off on our students, right? So they're taking the initiative to start these kind of things to help create that sense of belonging.
Sure. And I have to say that Robin Van Sickle, middle school counselor, I have to say that she's one of the ones who really made sure that the space of a Pride Club at the middle school is actually created and sustained.
Right.
So a lot of this work gets done because people already have a value set, and then we just kind of talk through like what that looks like. And if I can like say like, all right, can we show up at an event like last year? Just showing up and being able to see a particular Pride event for the community and the type of rigorous research that our students do, how counselors create the time for them, how principals can dedicate budget items. Like, it is really a community endeavor to do the work. So I feel very honored to be able to say like, yeah, I'm diversity and equity supervisor, but I'm just working in constellation with a lot of people.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you play an active role in the Marion community as well. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about some of the programs that you're a part of that not only benefit our schools, but the community overall?
So we have a, the Marion Community Foundation has a racial justice grant that they just released maybe 4 days ago. And with that, I sit and look at those grantees and see, or potential grantees, and see like which ones are really doing like fantastic racial justice work. And that grant, I believe, is worth like $50,000. And community members can apply on a project that they really feel is going to increase like racial justice and racial equity and that type of thing. So I've been working, I work mostly behind the scenes with that. And I think that that is one of the outcomes of, you know, the summer of 2020. Yeah. When, you know, George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor passed away. I think to see Marion Community Foundation commit to racial and social justice grant is really critical. And I like partnering just to kind of learn about what's going on in the community and who's doing what good work.
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned February, Black History Month, and we just celebrated MLK Day a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And on that day, many of our students were recognized for their projects revolving around Dr. King's life's work towards equality. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us about that event and the amazing job that our students did to showcase their talent for a very important message?
Sure. So the Peace and Freedom Committee has been working for 15 years. They celebrated, I believe this is their 15th year doing the breakfast, which is usually well attended. And this year, we had a number of students recognized for poetry, for art, and for writing. And the students have been so critical to the success of this event. But I would also say teachers really planning out that we're going to do this activity on this day, in partnership with Peace and Freedom, has been a really important piece of the success. And then also I would say parents who are saying like, hey, let's make sure you get your submission in. So it really is a community endeavor. This year we had the phenomenal writer Nick Stone come and talk a lot about the importance of writing, imagination, and she even made the connection between her favorite movie, The Sandlot, to like why she's decided to write her newest book, Fast Pitch. And I thought that that was really fantastic because I remember watching that movie as a kid, right? And connecting with our elders and with young people and also with parents, that was a really fantastic thing. One of the things that lights me up when I go is watching our young people perform and then also watching teachers and parents in the audience be able to see that type of like direct way that they've inspired the work. It really is Peace and Freedom putting together a stellar Martin Luther King breakfast. Usually what happens, we also have a march, but this year because of conditions, we didn't have a march. So I'm hoping that Marion City Schools and maybe other districts around our area can continue to partner with Peace and Freedom because there's such a linchpin in our community.
Yeah, and a big shout out to our students because that event and that contest is not just Marion City. That's
right.
That's multiple communities.
Yes.
So multiple schools, and our students did really well and took home a lot of first place prizes there. So shout out to them. So my last question, this is always the one that I like asking the most, but what is sort of your favorite thing about working for Marion City Schools? Obviously you said it's kind of full circle how you started here and you've come back. So what's your favorite thing about working here?
Top of mind is really I spent time at Taft this week, and their diversity, equity, and inclusion team is maybe 3 months into what they're doing. And I think that sometimes we as educators think that we have to have the answer, and sitting with them and being in the messiness of not having the answer, but like respectfully saying like, hey, let's kind of think about how our values and our practices and who we want as characters and our students to be. I think that that's really, being on the other side and not being a student in Marion City Schools, being an employee of Marion City Schools, and seeing how intentional staff are at showing up at 7:45 in the morning before they go into their regular classes, talking and committing to these particular values and thinking about their practices. That is what energizes me when I see how our staff is really digging in. Then when I go into the classroom and I get a chance to see how the learning happens from the meeting that we had, and I see kids lighting up, that for me, it fills me up. And then also being able to talk to parents about what said teacher did, what students are learning, and how it's impacting the larger learning atmosphere for their For their kids, that is something that energizes me, and it allows me to see that when we can place like justice and freedom and like liberation at the center of a lot of our work, we can do some really amazing things in Marion City Schools.
Absolutely.
So that's what really kind of, it fills my cup. That particular instance this week has really been inspiring to me and has kept me kind of going.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be a guest this week. I hope that, you know, this discussion has led to a better understanding of our community on exactly what we're trying to accomplish here in Marion mm-hmm. City Schools in, you know, creating that sense of belonging for everyone. So thank you again for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week's episode, but we will be back in a couple weeks with episode 10, where we will chat with Kevin Hayner, the Student Services Preschool Supervisor for the district, to get everyone ready for preschool enrollment. Until then, I'm Matt McQuarrie. This has been the Prexy Podcast, and we'll let the band play us out.